Good morning, Teachers on Fire. How are you doing on this Saturday morning? My name is Tim Cavey, and I'm the host of Teachers on Fire, the YouTube channel and the podcast. And I'm so glad that you're here with me this morning for another edition of Saturday Morning Teacher Talk. This is my opportunity to review some of the top posts on X that come from educators around the world. What is warming our hearts, sparking our thinking, and igniting our professional practice? Let's get into some of the best ones that I found from this past week. I'm coming out a little bit feisty this week. I will give you that advance notice. All right, I'm going to tackle a couple of issues that I think need some tackling. This first one comes from Gretchen. She's at Off Grid Teacher on X, and she says, well, this is kind of fascinating. Cursive is now required to be taught in grades 1-6 in California. And she quotes or passes on another post from ABC News, also in California, where Governor Newsom signed a bill that will require cursive instruction in 1-6th grade in California. But there's, quote, quite a chunk of teachers who have not taught it and some who probably were not taught it themselves. So let's talk about cursive writing, shall we? And maybe this is appropriate to put out to the teachers of X later in the form of a poll of some kind, but I will say the following about cursive. First of all, when it comes to handwriting and cursive skills, I believe there is value in our students learning how to write in cursive, how to handwrite. But here is the investment, here is the cost of this. It comes at the cost of dozens, hundreds of hours, explicit teaching of the skill, and then reinforcement in the form of practice and repeated applications of handwriting and cursive in the classroom through the primary grades, I would assume dominantly in the primary grades and then perhaps on into the middle years. So let's think about the cost, shall we? Where are those hours coming from? Where are they coming from? They're coming from other subjects. Those instructional hours are coming from other subjects where we are, instead of teaching math or science or social studies or English, we are teaching handwriting skills. And I just don't think, my friends, it is a good bargain for students. It's not a good bargain for students. Yes, I know. Again, I know they're all the motor kinesthetic skills are there. They're happening. They're present. It's tactile and it helps students formulate words and sentence structures on a deeper level, perhaps. But I'm just going to say that in my adult life, as a professional, as a YouTuber and podcaster and broadcaster and educator, of course, and administrator, I never need to use handwriting as a functional skill. Just never. Never, never, never. Once in a while, I might do so simply for fun. Maybe on a whiteboard somewhere, I might leave someone a message, but generally speaking, I never need the skill. So we're putting in this huge investment of time and hours in the classroom to teach our students a skill that they will literally never need in the real world. Well, pardon me, in the world outside of school. There we go. School is the real world. But I just don't think it's a good bargain for students. And as this article suggests, for teachers, giving teachers one more skill in some cases to learn as well. I am thankful, I suppose, that I was given the skill of handwriting, but again, I do not use it. I do not use it, friends, in my adult or professional life whatsoever. From Prodigy Education at Prodigy Game, they say, today we're showing #teacherlove, thank you, to all the teachers cheering on their students inside and outside of the classroom. Thank you for being their biggest fans and champions. And then they cite @LifeWithLittleLearners on Instagram. Now they've got a picture, and podcast listeners, here is what the picture says. There's in the picture, you've got a teacher holding a card, a note card that apparently has gone home to parents. And here's what the note card says. I would love to watch them do what they love outside of school. Lots of exclamation marks here. Feel free to message me the details and I will do my best to be there. Now, teachers, let's talk about this for a moment, shall we? Yes, this is a lovely intention. We can all agree to that. It's very touching. It's very warm. There's lots of hospitality and generosity here. However, this is a huge, huge offer. And teachers, I'm just not sure that in 2023 we should be making such an offer. But Tim, what if teachers have the bandwidth to do this and they feel able to do it? Well, maybe so. Maybe, Maybe. The problem is, my voice is cracking, I'm so passionate about this, but the problem is that teachers are wonderful human beings. They care about others. That's why they're making these kinds of offers to go to the karate tournament, to go to the figure skating competition, to go to the dance recital, to go to the musical. They're offering to run around to all of these out of school activities in their evenings and weekends because they are caring and wonderful people. But the problem is that so many times, in so many cases, in almost every case, teachers are struggling already with teacher guilt and the guilt of not being there for their partner and the guilt of not being there for their family or their children or their other loved ones or the guilt of not keeping up with assessment and feedback and all these other places where they're already sort of struggling along under this emotional weight that they have to carry. And so that teacher, you're telling me that teacher that is already struggling to carve out personal time for themselves and erect and maintain boundaries in their lives is going to go to a 3-hour musical for one of their students, one of their 30 or 60 or 90 or 150 students, whatever it might be? I think that's a bad idea. And not only that, there are precedents here going on, right? Because what does it signal to the parent and student community? It signals this is what teachers do. This is what teachers do. We go to these performances and we celebrate our students outside of school at every opportunity. Teachers, don't do that. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Don't celebrate your students outside of school on your own time. You desperately need that time to recharge. And not only that, okay, not only, we need to go back full screen for this, not only are you sending that precedent for your own students, meaning if you go to Sally's performance, now you've got Bobby and Mikey who want you to go to their performances as well. How do you say no to them? Not only have you set the bar for yourself, but you've also set the bar for your colleagues. So, I mean, you may have some bandwidth, you may have some time and energy to go to the swim competition, but your friend who is a mother of 4 children at home and has a very, very busy life outside of school and has having trouble finding the capacity to do it all already, your colleague may not be in the same position. And so now your colleague becomes the bad teacher or the selfish teacher. I think we have to be really careful about that. That's my bandwagon. Friends, I've written about this. I'll show you the article. I've written about this on Medium. It's titled, Should Teachers Attend Student Performances Outside of School? Google that, check it out if you are interested. I've also created a YouTube video to the same effect. You can tell I feel really passionately about this, and it really stems from 2 years ago when I was asked in one of our 3 terms, I was asked 3 times by 3 separate students, one time by each of them, if that makes sense, to go and attend their student performances outside of school. And again, we love our kids, don't we? We love our kids. We love our students. We would love to go. I mean, if that was my job to, if that's what I could do all day, I would love, sure, more than happy to, but the problem is we've got many, 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 many other competing priorities, and that puts us all in not a great position. We've got a couple of comments on the broadcast. Mark Ryan says, in my opinion, if you want to go to an event, go. All right. Well, Mark, I know you and I differ on this one. If you want to go to an event, go. Yes, sure. Okay. All right. Fair. And Phil Cavey in the broadcast says, yes, we do need to be careful about that. Good reminder, Tim. Phil's an accountant, he's not an educator, but I'm sure faces some of those same challenges as well. Thank you, Brother Phil. And again, going back to Mark Ryan, who is in the Middle East, if you want to go to an event, go. I would love to hear, if you and I could chat right now, maybe you should jump into the broadcast, Mark, but if you and I could chat, I would love to hear what you think about the precedent that sets for the neighbors, for the other colleagues, and for the school community. Doesn't that create a norm that this is what teachers do, that we go to student performances? I'm just, that is a big concern for me. All right, moving on to the next topic. That was a couple of issues that I feel a little bit feisty on. This one, another one from TCEA that is quite positive. How do you connect with your students? I love this strategy of using the I Noticed thread. Let me zoom in a little bit on this. A simple, meaningful way to connect with your students, I Noticed. Part of the reason that I really love this is My school subscribes to a behavior management philosophy called Love and Logic. And this is one of the things that they prescribe in terms of building relationships in an innocent, neutral, non-threatening way. You're not getting all up in the student's face or asking them questions that might be perceived as intrusive. You're simply saying, hey, I noticed something. So for the podcast listeners, let me give you some examples of what they are talking about. I noticed how much grit you showed in order to solve that word problem. That's amazing. I noticed that you are working hard to add details to your writing. I can't wait to read your essay. Or I noticed that you treated Jenna nicely during lunch today when you offered her a seat at the table. I noticed how helpful you were to your peers during science today. I could tell they appreciated it. All of those things, all of those I noticed statements, again, are very non-threatening. You're simply commenting on things that you've seen. And here's the beauty. It shows students that you see them, that you know them, that you care, that you are engaging with them, that you actually think about them, that they exist in your space, that they are worthy of your thoughts. And as simple as that sounds, or as maybe obvious or whatever, I think it's a powerful little strategy and it builds relationships. Students start thinking, oh, wow, Mr. Cavey actually saw the difference in my shoes from last Friday to today. You know, if I notice that a kid has new kicks or whatever they're calling them these days, something that I like to mention is a new haircut. Now, if I could just always notice when my wife gets a new haircut, then we'd be all set. But yes, letting students know, hey, I noticed you got a new haircut. Very cool. You know, they come to school on Monday morning. First thing, I'm just friendly and observing and pointing out that I'm seeing them. I'm noticing. Use it. Try it, teachers. Try it. From my friend Che Cheney, Che and Pav, let me just say it quickly. Che and Pav are two educators from Toronto. They're podcasters. They are authors. They're amazing people. And pay attention to them. They are, well, they're at a few different places, but on X, you'll find Che Cheney at Mr. C. Cheney. Again, that's on X. He says this, we shouldn't discredit or discourage students from copying as a first strategy for finding a solution. Instead, we can use it as an access point to discuss tools and scaffolds for greater learning. I like this for a lot of reasons, one of which I always tell my design students that everything is a remix. This idea of original thought is highly overrated. So just about anything that we try to create or design is going to take from its inspiration the work of other people, the creativity of others, the designs of others. And so when we're in an art class, or I know I'd love to hear what Mark Ryan believes about this, but when we're in the visual arts, let's say, and one student comes up with an amazing approach to a design and someone close by admires their design and says, hey, I'm going to try something similar. Are we alarmed, teachers? Are we alarmed by that? Are we concerned, or do we say that's the spirit of design and iteration, innovation, iteration? Very, very close concepts. But yeah, everything is a remix. I applied this. Okay, let's check out Mark's comment, and then I want to talk about ChatGPT and AI as well here for a moment. Mark says, I have a passion for swimming and drama, so I love to attend the swim gala. I'm never going to say that word. Galas and performances. I don't make them all, and people don't expect to see me there. Okay, fair distinction. However, if I can, I show up. It's similar to attending PD on my own time. I'm not trying to make my colleagues that don't have the time feel bad, but I'm going to live my educational journey. Fair. I can't really disagree with any of that, Mark. You have those passions for swimming and drama, so you attend the swim events and performances. That makes a lot of sense. I do wonder, like if you were in my position in a busy season of the school year, let's bring me back on the screen here. I'd be curious, Mark, to know how you play that when your student comes along and they have a karate tournament, or another student who has a musical, or another student who has a violin performance. And I'm just curious to know how you address that when you, after you've set this precedent that, you know, for these other students, you're going to their swim competitions. Just throwing that out there. Maybe you have that figured out in your context, or maybe you even make that offer, let's say. I'm sure you don't make it a promise, but maybe you sort of establish that with your students that, hey, I am a swimmer, I am a swim fan, maybe your kids are in swimming, and I'm going to attend as many swim performances, and I'm sure runs. I'm sure If there are athletic performances happening outside of school, you're on top of those as well. Sorry, I can't join live, likely for the best. Mark, you still owe me a debate, by the way, on the future of keyboards. Remember that one? So now that I've resumed my live streams, we'll have to schedule that sometime soon. Would love to chat with you, Mark. Thank you again for joining the broadcast. Make sure you're connecting with Mark Ryan on LinkedIn. He's a daily source of inspiration on LinkedIn. Moving to my friend Roland. He's at Archids. He says, good day. Sunday, Tuesday. You don't have to wait for a particular day. You can reset whenever you want to. Step away, take care of yourself, and step back in. Now, he is sharing here, I can't tell exactly where this graphic comes from, but I think if you see the logo, if you notice the logo here at the bottom, I believe he is sharing a graphic from an app on Google. He's got an Android, is my guess. Oh, no, it's also Apple App of the Day 2019. There's an App of the Day award? Okay. All right, we'll take it. So anyway, the point being, it's an app called Journey, and they've got this great graphic, how to reset your week. And I thought, this is pretty applicable for educators to, and I like this idea of resetting the week when once you hit the weekend, that you're not just sort of rolling through your weekend tired, maybe drinking too much, maybe watching too much Netflix, not really taking care of yourself, and then just rolling into Monday without doing a refresh. Bit of a reset. It's very, very important. So for the podcast listeners especially, let me read to you some of these ideas involved in how to reset your week. Change your bed sheets. And I know I didn't do that often enough as a bachelor. Let's not go there. So change your bed sheets. Set aside a time to journal your thoughts. Journaling is wonderful when I do it, but it's always a case of, am I going to journal over going for a walk, going for a run, working out, spending time in nature, reading a book, having a nap, spending time with my wife? It just often gets triaged down on the list. So if you are joining us live or on the replay, or podcast listeners, let me know. Are you finding time to journal your thoughts? I think we can agree there's probably no better way to really be your own therapist and analyze what's going on in the brain. Another thing you can do to reset your week, plan outfits for the next week. You can prepare snacks and meals ahead of time. We see a lot of that on Teacher X and on Teacher TikTok, Teacher IG. Teachers setting aside time to put away the chicken and broccoli for the week in the Tupperware containers in the fridge. So if that's you, if that helps you plan and feel a little more settled going into the week, by all means, that's a good reset. Clean and tidy your desk at home and at school, perhaps, is a good practice. And I know Friday, if you can tidy up your desk, throw some things in the garbage, organize, put some files away, it's a great feeling to come back to a clean desk on Monday morning. So I'm in favor of that one. And then take some time to rest. Yes, get some good sleep. And I'm going to be so bold as to say, take a nap, educators, on the weekend. That's one of my favorite things to do. If I can find time on a Sunday afternoon to take a nap, hopefully with my wife, that is going to be a good time. Roland, another great post from Roland at Archids on X says, self-maintenance. We take care of our house, car, and electronic devices, but how often are we maintaining ourselves? We are the most important thing to take care of. Regular maintenance is a must. Get under the hood, check things out, tweak and adjust as needed. So sort of more of the same idea here, but a great cartoon of a mechanic getting under this big brain to take a look at what's going on there. But yeah, again, I'm just struck by this idea that we need to be conscious. We need to be aware, self-aware, and thinking about what is the state of our mental, emotional health? What are maybe our chief stressors of the day? What are the things that we are wrestling with that we need time to sort out in our own minds? Last post of the show from my friend John Sowash. At JR Sowash says, exciting news, Google Slides just got a fabulous update. You can now draw and write directly on your slides while presenting. No premium subscription needed. Well, I would be offended, John, if anything on Google Slides required a premium subscription. But maybe he's referring to the Google for Education packages, or maybe he's just speaking to non-users of Google Slides. But yes, I love this idea. So let's show the screenshot here that he has included. He's got a screenshot from a Google Slides presentation, and he's opened up the navigation controls, and you can see here that one of the options, a new option now, is turn on the pen. Turn on the pen, and I will have to play with this to see, does it actually leave, let me think, I don't think this would leave writing permanently on the slide. I'm guessing that is not the case, but it would simply leave it on the screen during the performance, during the presentation. Hopefully you can go from slide one, write on slide one, go to slide two, then go back to slide one, and the writing or annotation is still there. I would hope that is the case. I'll have to play with this feature a little bit, but this is so much better than a laser pointer, right? Because laser pointer, yes, you can sort of connect A and B idea, but you can't leave that permanent trace, right? So I'm excited about this idea of a pen that will leave marks permanently or semi-permanently on the screen. And that's going to change what we are capable of in Google Slides. And you can see Google sort of taking some small steps to try to make up for the loss of Jamboard. We're very sad to lose Jamboard. That was some recent news broken by John Sowash as well. So again, now when you are presenting your Google Slides, you can now for the first time write on them. And that's going to be helpful for teachers of all subjects, but I think in particular, maybe in mathematics, it's going to be particularly helpful. Teachers, I am having so much fun getting back into these live streams, and I've been doing a lot of thinking about interviews, and I think that's been the history and the heart of the podcast. I am happy to announce here to those watching the replay and listening to the podcast, I am going to get back into interviews. It takes a little more time to set up and get in touch with different educators, but there's a connection that is so valuable. And not only that, it's me actively learning from other experts in my field, other authors, other speakers, other presenters. So I'm really excited to bring those to you again on the YouTube channel and on the podcast. Stay tuned for that. And if you are interested in speaking with me, someone like Mark Ryan, perhaps, who is an eloquent speaker himself, make sure again to connect with him. But if you are interested in sharing your message and engaging with me more here on the YouTube channel and on the podcast, please reach out. Let me know what you're all about. I am not really interested in being an infomercial for the hundreds of edtech companies out there, but I am interested in bringing you fire and inspiration from teachers who are actively involved in their practice or educators who have spent time in the classroom and in our school halls and are now actively supporting teachers. So more of that to come shortly. If you have joined me today in the live broadcast, or you are now joining me on the replay, thank you so much. Would you like this video? Share it with your friends. And on the topic of sharing, these are challenging times. Make sure you're sharing an encouraging message to lift up a colleague and keep your own fire for learning burning bright. Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go, go.